Local Edge, powered by Ad Canada Media.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Season 2 of Local Edge, your show for better understanding and connecting with small communities in Canada. Here, we explore the value of these markets to advertisers, agencies, communities, and more. We bring you the latest news, insights, and trends from all over the world of local advertising and marketing. I'm your host, Shauna Randolph. And on today's show, our first of this season, we dive into digital e-editions in the Canadian newspaper and their role in how news consumption is transitioning to online. We have quite the discussion planned, so whether you're an advertiser, agency, community member, or simply just interested in the world of local advertising, just sit back, relax, and enjoy our show.
Recent statistics in Canada note that approximately 1.4 million people reported First Nations ancestry, including more than 500,000 who identify as Métis and 82,000 who identify as Inuit. For more data like this and a better understanding of connecting with local markets, please visit adcanadamedia.ca.
A recent study from Totem Research is giving us a clearer understanding of how news consumption is transitioning to online. The study shows that 41% of Canadians have read an e-edition in the last week. That, combined with the readership of printed newspapers, brings the total number of Canadians who engaged with a traditional format newspaper in the last week to nearly 6 in 10. That's 60%. What does this mean to advertisers? We have a lot to hear from this from our guests. Joining us from Toronto, Claude Hyman. He is president of Totem Research and a seasoned expert in media research with a rich background spanning many roles as media research director. Claude has a very unique perspective on the media landscape. And we have Lisa Sigutek. She is owner and publisher of the Crow's Nest Past Herald in Blairmore, Alberta, and also president of the Alberta Weekly Newspapers Association. Hello to both of you.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Joanna.
Claude, let's start with you and this study. It is one of the first to differentiate engagement with an e-edition from that with news that's posted to and consumed directly on a newspaper's website. So what motivated this research, especially in the context of today's digital media landscape?
Okay, so we've been doing some studies for Media Canada for a number of years, and the purpose of those studies has really been to try and understand the differences between people who live in rural areas and people who live in urban areas. And this was just another study in that sequence of studies, and the readership was almost incidental. It wasn't. I mean, we've always asked about readership in all of these surveys, but it wasn't the main purpose of the study. This time around, we added a couple of questions that asked people about their readership online, and specifically try to break it out between people who read e-editions and people who read posted content. And that's when we discovered that 2 in 5 people. Now, the study was English Canada only. But 2 in 5 English Canadian adults read the e-editions weekly. We were probably as surprised as anyone, because most of the readership research that goes on does not break out online readership in any way, shape, or form. And I think most people think about online readership as people reading posted content because it's so ubiquitous. So we were surprised to see that number for the e-editions.
You know, and I mentioned that about 60% of Canadians are engaging with a traditional format newspaper. Claude, that's people reading both the actual hard right. copy as well as the e-edition online, right?
Well, it's either or both. We do research, obviously, for other people, and when you're actually trying to measure readership, we would use a different technique than we used in this study. And my guess is that the numbers that we've got here are even low estimates based on the other research that we've been doing. So I know that generally speaking, on a weekly basis, on some of the other research that we've been doing, readership of newspapers generally, whether it's print version, e-edition, or posted content, generally runs somewhere over 80%. And we got 60% in this study. And that's just because we used a very different technique. So by and large, I think the numbers that we're looking at here are conservative estimates.
You mentioned that the whole purpose of the study in the first place was basically talking about the differences between urban and rural populations. So How does engagement with e-editions play into this? What sort of differences are you finding?
Well, what we find is that by and large, the e-editions are somewhat better or somewhat more widely read in urban areas than they are in rural areas. And there are probably many reasons for that. One of which I think would be that online access is a lot more difficult in some of these rural areas than it is in urban areas. But I think another reason is probably that a lot of the smaller newspapers haven't yet produced online versions or certainly not e-editions. So the access to people in smaller areas is probably not as great as it is in urban areas. And all I can suggest is, based on what we're finding, that that's only going to grow, that you're going to find more and more of those people in the smaller areas. As these things become available to them, they're going to start reading them more.
Okay, we appreciate your insight into this study here. We just now want to bring in Lisa into this conversation. Lisa, sure. Can you tell us about your decisions to introduce e-editions? Basically, what were the key factors driving this?
Well, we started our e-edition in 2018, so I think we were one of the kind of early organizations that started an e-edition, especially in the rural scheme of things. We just felt that there was a demographic of our readership that wasn't getting hit. And, you know, in 2018, I was in my 40s, and I read a lot of my information online through e-editions. I would get e-subscriptions, and that's how I read my newspapers. And so it was just kind of a jump to me to say, okay, how do we provide our content to the readers without posting it for free on our website, for example? And we thought, well, let's try e-editions. We did quite a bit of research in how we wanted to do it. We didn't feel that we wanted to do it in-house. We wanted it to have a professional look to it. And so we went with Issue, which is a magazine company. And it's just exploded for us. And what's nice about Issue is I can look at my age demographics and break those numbers out. I can look at geographical location. It gives me a lot of information for who's reading my newspaper and what age group they're in when it comes to e-editions. And in that period of time between 2018 and 2024, a quarter now of my subscriptions are e-bought subscriptions.
And you started at zero, so that's quite an increase.
It's been incredible growth, actually. And so for the first time in a long time, my subscription numbers have actually increased. For a while there, we saw a demographic kind of 2015 to 2020 where my numbers were dropping, not substantially, but they weren't growing, they were dropping. And since we introduced the e-subscription, our numbers have significantly grown, and they've grown with that demographic from basically 20 to 40 years old. That's the demographic that are purchasing our paper online.
So did that kind of catch you off guard? Were you expecting that? A pleasant surprise?
No, I wasn't expecting it. It was a huge surprise. And the biggest jump has been in the last year and a half, 18 months. So 23, latter part of 22 to 24 is where my jump was incremental. It went, I grew probably 75% in that, 25% in that year and a half. So I very much concur with the statements that are being said that group is starting to look at reading papers online. And when you can get it in a digital environment, it looks exactly like a newspaper. So they're reading a newspaper, they're just reading it in a different venue.
So then, Lisa, what do you think it is specifically that they're enjoying about this kind of packaging of the printed product online?
Well, I think a lot of it is the printed package. I mean, if you go online and you look at the content of my newspaper, it opens up exactly like a newspaper and you flip pages like a newspaper. And when I go in and look at the demographics, the majority of people who are reading the paper on the e-subscription are doing it on a big computer so that they actually have that look of it. When you do it on your phone, it comes up as individual pages. But when you look at it on a big computer, it looks just like a newspaper. So the quality is better because, of course, you're not losing, you know, your print. When you print, it's just not as clear, especially in the environment that we're in with the degradation of the paper print, the types of paper that printers are printing on. The quality isn't there like it used to be, and it certainly isn't an e-subscription. And then when somebody buys it online, they're buying a product. So they're buying something that they have an expectation of a certain look, and Issue's doing that for us.
So it seems like your readers never really leave the newspaper format. They're just simply moving it from print to screen to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our paper copy subscription, which we call hard copies, have actually decreased a little, and our digital have increased. So it's been offset. And what's been really interesting as this is going on is that as people have been buying my e-subscription newspaper, the website usage or the people going to my website to look at it has gone down. And I love it. That is the best case scenario for me because I can't tell on a digital platform on my website, who's reading it, what they're reading, are they getting the content, are they just looking at it for something specific? But I know on an e-subscription that they're buying the newspaper to read it. And so I get a lot more information. It's a verified subscription, so I can prove when I'm doing my circulation that it's a verified bought newspaper. And they're downloading it. Today, I had an interesting anecdotal comment. I had a family call me up and say, because it's February, they want to renew. And they said, I didn't get my paper last week. And I said, well, I'm sorry. Like, you didn't pay your bill for the year. You need to resubscribe. And he said, oh, okay, like, let's get that moving. And his wife is in the background saying, I get it as a digital copy. And he's saying, well, I don't like that. I want to read the written copy. So two people in a two-person household have now bought my newspaper.
And they have two different needs, it sounds
yes.
like.
It was fortuitous that it happened today. So it was an interesting experiment for me. And so, like I said, my website numbers have gone down, which I love, but my e-subscription numbers have gone up.
Okay. Lisa, let's talk about the value for advertisers in newspapers. What are some of the features that your e-edition offers that appeals to your advertisers?
Well, the ads are there. So, you know, people read the newspaper, of course, to read the articles, hopefully, and also to see what's going on. And I can talk only from a rural perspective. So they're looking to see what's going on in the community and what people are advertising, what our local government is doing in the newspaper. And so that quality in the e-subscription's there. So when they buy the paper, they're reading everything that's in it, including those ads. And again, I can tell the age groups that are hitting the ads, where they're from, which communities within my geographic producing area. So they're reading it. And I'm thrilled. Like I said, for the first time ever, my subscriptions are up. And I think, you know, this begs the question of, I live in a community of 6,000 people. And in that community, we send out 2,000 utility bills. So we have 2,000 households that receive a utility bill, which tells me, again, that there's 3 to 4 people per house. We're selling through e-subscriptions and hard copy now, because my e-subscriptions have gone up, 1,500 newspapers a week. Well, I'm hitting 75% of the population in my community. Would I be doing that without an e-subscription? I'm not sure. I think those numbers would be stagnant. So now I think I'm hitting a whole demographic of readership of young people that are now reading the newspaper, because if I look at those, again, at those analytics, that's the group that's buying the newspapers, that younger generation, and they're reading it.
Right. And then your advertisers, I assume, are realizing as well, their ad isn't just being looked on the hard copy, right?
That's right.
Right there on the website, but in the e-edition.
Yeah.
So it's double exposure.
That's 100%. And some of my bigger corporate advertisers are saying to me, I get the hard copy, but now I'm reading the digital. And I love that my ads for my corporate companies are in both editions, and it's not just right off of a website where you don't see the ads. You get the stories, but you don't get that advertising punch that you're getting in a real ad. In an e-subscription, the ad space is the same, the paper looks the same. So they're getting 100% bang for their buck, just as if they're getting it from a hard copy.
And I've taken a look myself at e-editions, and you can actually, like, there's, you click in through to an advertiser's website through it.
Yeah, you certainly can. And that's something you don't get on a hard copy. So for me, it's another selling point when I'm selling things. I can say, well, make sure you get your website on there and people can click onto it and they can access what you need off the website. So for me, it's ideally, I mean, really, e-subscriptions are the wave of the future, and we have to get on board with this, and we have to make sure that our advertisers and our consumers understand that it is a newspaper. It's just being sent to you in a different venue.
So with that, moving to the future, you're all in. There's no convincing you, but there are others that haven't experienced what you do. So what advice do you have for other publishers that are considering this?
Well, I think you just have to talk to somebody like me, and you have to understand and look through the numbers. I mean, circulation numbers don't lie. When you're a verified circulation, you have to prove who's reading your newspaper. And, you know, as an industry, we've been behind the ball. You know, we want, some say we're dinosaurs and we're not up with times, but I think we are up with times, and I think we're doing our job. We just have to realize that the way in which certain people want to read the newspaper is different than what we did in our generation or the generation before us. And so we need to be moving with the times. We need to understand that e-subscriptions are around, and we need to make sure that we do them in a professional way, that they're done in a concise way, and that they're done in the same venue that you would do a hard copy. And quite honestly, the quality control for me in an e-subscription is better in some ways than it is in a hard copy. I print my paper an hour and a half from my community. So I am now the slave to how fast can the guy get down delivering the paper on the morning? How fast can I stuff the paper? How fast is Canada Post going to send it out? If they miss a deadline or they're busy, my paper's not number one on the priority list. So sometimes people will get the paper that day. Sometimes it's the next morning. But with an e-subscription, you get it at 9 o'clock every morning on a Wednesday. And I'll tell you, if they don't get it for some reason, if I screw up when I'm downloading it or sending it out and they don't get their paper, I hear about it. And it's not a good experience. So in many ways, I think that for quality control, the e-subscription in some cases is even better. The other thing that I like about the e-subscription is I don't do anything with it. The program, the group I use, we have linked them onto our website. So you go to our website and then it directly goes to that magazine company and they purchase from them. They purchase my newspaper from them. And so I think it also gives the advertiser and the reader the knowledge that it's coming from a professional outside source that's doing it just like you would do a magazine. And it's a beautiful situation.
Well, thank you for your enthusiasm in sharing this. I think you may have inspired other publishers to move forward with this if they haven't already. Thank you for the time that you've shared with us, both of you, here today. That is Claude Hyman. He is president of Totem Research, and Lisa Sigutek, owner and publisher of the Crow's Nest Pass Herald in Blairmore, Alberta. Thank you, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks to you. Thanks.
The average Canadian household budgets over $13,000 per year to feed their families, a number that has seen an increase due to the battle against inflation. For more data like this and a better understanding of connecting with local markets, please visit adcanadamedia.ca.
We now welcome from Palo Alto in California, Joe Herkin. He is CEO of Issue, a leading omni-channel content tools and publishing platform. With over 25 years of experience in the tech industry, Joe has been at the forefront of digital innovation, leading teams all across Asia, Europe, and the U.S., from startups to public companies. Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking time for us today.
Hi, Shauna. Thanks for having me. Glad to be with you and your audience.
Joe, Issue is one of the platforms used by newspapers to convert printed editions into reader-friendly digital ones. Let's have you start off with telling us more about Issue and its mission in the digital publishing world.
Thanks for the question. We are a massive digital publishing platform, and we enable creators, marketers, publishers, businesses to make all of their documents and publications digitally available in a range of different assets to be shared to all of the different channels where their audience resides and where they want to consume that content. So we enable, in the case of newspapers, we enable them to reach a much wider audience and turn their content into the assets that enable them to have it shared and distributed across different devices and through all the different channels and make that content interactive so that the audience, so that their readers can access that content at any time, particularly when they need it most. You know, one of the challenges with traditional publishing is it has typically relied on that paper format and the audience being sitting with that paper format. And in a digital way, not only do you get a wider reach, but you're able to facilitate interaction at the time where the reader can most benefit from it.
So, can you give us an example? Ultimately, how does Issue empower creators and publishers?
Yeah, so we enable them to take the digital files, their PDF or whatever format that content is in, upload it to Issue. We then host it for them so that they now have that content publicly available. We give them the tools. In some cases, we use machine learning and AI to automatically extract articles from the full-on publication. We also use that to create social posts and GIFs and additional assets in addition to the full-on paginated version of the content that can then be enhanced with video content and links as well. So they take that one piece of content they've created, upload it to Issue. We give them the tools to transform it into all the different assets they need that can then be embedded on their own site or shared across any of the social media outlets that they want to be using. And then we provide a whole set of data and analytics around that content so they get real specificity beyond typical newspaper publishing data. Rather than have to aggregate or use averages, we provide data that gives access to how many clicks on each page, clicks through to advertising, and enables them actually, again, to have a wider reach and have higher value to their advertisers as well.
So then, now tapping into your extensive background in technology and digital media, how have you seen the digital publishing landscape evolve? And where does Issue and e-editions fit into that?
Yeah, it's one of these things that is just constantly evolving, right? You know, I think you can go as far back as Gutenberg and the printing press, where all of a sudden content was now becoming widely available. And we've seen this evolve over the centuries and decades to where in the 90s, with the invention of the development of the internet, you know, newspapers and publishers were able to get their content online for the first time. And now what we're seeing is with Issue, we enable you to take the full-on publication and the monetization mechanism that you have and leverage the distribution that's available. So the biggest evolution in the last 5 to 10 years has been, in terms of what Issue brings to the table, is the ability to not have to create multiple versions of all of your content. Publishers can put their effort into the things they do best, which is create great content and sell advertising around it, and then rely on our platform to make that content available to their audience, to turn it into the different assets, to give them automated ways to leverage the channels that exist out there. The evolution that I think we're always seeing is this combination of access and channels and distribution, and then backed up by the monetization capabilities.
This is interesting. I think a lot of people are enlightened now because there's many that think that transitioning this e-edition from the actual hard copy newspaper is just simply that. You're just flipping on online, but there is much more to it, as I'm hearing from you. So much more interactive than people think.
Yeah, I think when these kinds of technologies become valuable is when a business can align the technology opportunity with how they run their business, right? So you can't divorce the content from the revenue that you need to be able to generate in order to keep running the business. And one of the big changes that we've facilitated has been, in the earlier stages of the internet, publishers were pressured to make their content available either for free or for very small CPMs in comparison to what they had been used to charging. What we enable them to do is, again, continue to create their publication-like content, the paginated version, but make it available digitally. And because of the specific interactivity that we make available, not only can they enhance that content with videos about the stories, additional images, links to provide more detail, so you can now go even further in depth than you might otherwise be able to go. And just as importantly, they can create links for each advertiser. So when you have a magazine or a newspaper, you have a flat ad on that page. That's all you get. Mm-hmm. And then when you're uploading the content to issue and using us, those ads can be turned into videos. Those ads can have links in them. So if you're advertising a local restaurant, instead of just the ad that exists on the paper, you can have a link to the menu. You could have a video showing the cooks cooking or patrons enjoying the food. You can have, you know, a whole range of other links and interactivity that becomes available. And as an advertiser, you now have a digital ad of your content. So the publisher can provide access to that specific page to the restaurant, and then they can put that ad on any of their social media sites that they may use too. So we create not only a better monetization opportunity for the publishers, but we create a whole interactivity campaign for the local advertisers as well.
So I can only imagine what the future is going to look like. Let's just talk very briefly about future trends in digital publishing, especially with e-editions. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so, you know, several core things that we want to be focused on. The first is there will be more channels and more asset types continuing to expand. And so publishers and their advertisers need to make sure they're partnering with someone who enables them to take advantage of that, rather than have to do it on their own. You don't want to be in a position where, as a publisher, you have to keep creating all the different asset types to reach the audience. That also means you get access to a much wider audience where people beyond your specific geography can access relevant local content, whether someone's coming in as a tourist or someone moved away and may want access. Two other big things, data. You now have access to data with specific results that didn't exist before in the publishing world. And then the third is AI. Everyone's talking about AI, but what publishers want to be able to do is leverage AI to help them be more efficient, not to create fake content or content that writers used to create, but to create more efficiency around transforming the content into assets, pulling the right kinds of data, recommendations of additional content, and efficient distribution of the content itself, and being able to create prompts around new ideas and new stories to follow.
And so how, Joe, is Issue preparing to meet some of these trends? There's a lot in the horizon.
There's a lot on the horizon, and I've just covered a couple of the pieces. You know, in terms of us, we've been working to enhance our product so that it's easier for publishers in one click to upload their content and to get additional assets from that content. We are always increasing the data and the specificity of that data that's available for publishers so that they can use it to inform what they should be covering, next stories to create, and use it to increase their monetization capabilities with advertising. And we're continuing to provide AI and machine learning tools around additional asset creation and ways in which to get more data and information to inform how to run the business more effectively. We're very much focused on this combination of the content, the creation capability, and the monetization that comes with it. All three are critical for publishers. And what we're seeing and what data is starting to show is that more and more people are relying on e-editions, clicking on that content, clicking on the ads and engaging with it, and having a more meaningful experience as a result.
Wow, good stuff. A lot to digest. Thank you so much for your insight for us.
Thank
For us.
you.
Thank you, Joe. That's Joe Hirken. He is CEO of Issue.
In BC, residents spend on average $225 annually on home entertainment equipment, with an equal amount allotted to home entertainment-related services. For more data like this and a better understanding of connecting with local markets, please visit adcanadamedia.ca.
Thank you, everyone, so much for spending time with us here on Local Edge. Again, I'm your host, Shauna Randolph. To stay in tune with us and to access all of our episodes, just be sure to subscribe to the Local Edge podcast on any of the major platforms like Spotify, Apple, Google, and much more. Also, don't forget to check out our website. It's adcanadamedia.ca, adcanadamedia.ca. Thanks for joining us here on Local Edge, and see you next time.
This series is proudly produced by the team at Road 55. Road 55 creates content that connects. For more information, check our website, www.road55.ca.